So hi again, everyone, and welcome in our weekly JavaScript call. I will start with antitrust policy, as always. So there is some antitrust policy, and by attending this call, you are agreeing with that. So please read it, and that's it. I feel like I'm even more behind than before. So after this few weeks, I would need to go through everything again and update myself a bit. So I don't have anything special for today, but if you have anything you want to discuss.
I have a few items I would like to discuss. I'll update the but maybe if other people have things on the agenda, we can go over them first.
I would just raise something. I think we mentioned that before, but I'm not sure if it's on the list of things that open issues. It is. Yeah, so it's the problem report. Okay. Because I was testing yesterday, and I saw the problem report is like raising an exception in the AJ.
You mean that like you expect a problem report to be sent, but we actually throw an error?
It is sent by the mediator, but the framework doesn't recognize it. It's just not supported yet.
Yeah, we definitely need that protocol.
Maybe I added a few notes to the PR with invitations. So maybe we can also discuss them in here. We
don't have your sound is muffled, to me at least.
I thought it was just my hearing.
So, okay.
I was not the only one. It's only the output, I think, right?
Yeah.
What about now? Is it better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Let's try it this way. I won't be talking so much, at least. Maybe. Okay, so what do you want to discuss first? Timo, you also said you have a few things to discuss.
It's the revocation status, the multi-init ledgers, and the image URL and invitations I would like to discuss. To just start with the revocation status is, I would be interested, James, to hear like what's the current status, and if you we need it for a client that we're working with. So I'm curious what we can. How we can start working with it on the short term.
This is something that I could put in the at least a draft PR for by early next week, so Monday or Tuesday. there might be a little bit we need to sort out still, but I can at least get that into a draft so that you can see it and work with it, and maybe a PR versus just a draft.
Okay. Yeah. And the main thing that still needs to be done is it like only testing, and is it feature complete, or is there still features that need to be implemented, or?
Primarily feature complete. So far, our use case has only required us to do. We've only tackled doing. the top level non-revoked. So we're not able to look up non-revoked based off of individual attributes or predicates. So and the complexity necessary there wanted to push that off some as possible. And take a more iterative approach.
I don't think that's used very often, right? The individual non-revoked attributes, or
as far as I know, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of the did you take a look already at the present proof best practices RFC? Like, does it follow it or?
If I recall correctly, yes, but that would be one of the things that I want to verify.
Okay.
Yes, I have read that. We haven't gotten to revocation notification yet. That shouldn't be too difficult though, because that's not, it's just another protocol essentially. So.
Yeah. No, I think that tackling the revocation part is like the really complex thing here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I look forward to seeing the PR. And on your timeline, when do you think it should be mergeable?
I think I could commit to having that by next Friday, potentially sooner.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not it's open source contribution, so no worry, but I know what the timeline is.
Especially because you're going to be relying on it for another client, so you're like, is this actually going to be done in time? Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And I did think of one other thing that I wanted to run by the group at some point on the call. Had a question or two about a bug that I've identified with mediation about how to tackle that. So some conversation on that would be awesome.
Added it to the agenda list. We can do that right now. Let's do that.
Okay. So I have identified that ACPI, as I had previously understood it, when you had sent a trust ping and you had queued messages for delivery. If you send a trust ping with response requested false and return route all, it would return all queued messages. However, this is actually not the functionality of ACPI. It will only return the first queued message, and you would have to send subsequent trust pings in order to get the rest of them. So one of the issues that you run into there is that if you send a trust ping to connect to the mediator, you do not know if the message you receive is in response to that trust ping or if that is just a regular message you're receiving from the mediator, which makes it pretty difficult to identify if there's more messages on the queue or if there is that is the only one that you had to pick up from the mediator. So my proposed thought process here is I would like to move towards the pickup protocol V2. And so my thought process would be to implement one or two of the messages there for message pickup specifically to make that more explicit and not necessarily jump to the full protocol yet, but start implementing that to solve this specific issue at least. To move us in the right direction.
So you mean currently in ACPI, just from my understanding, you never receive two messages without sending two messages?
Correct.
Oh, I never noticed that.
For the undelivered queue at least. So if you send a trust ping, you can receive over WebSockets, you can receive as many messages as you want over that WebSocket connection, but the undelivered queue, it's a one-to-one message delivery.
Okay. Yeah, then we should definitely fix that. So are you interested to implement it in like both the agents or what's
Yes. So I'm happy to add the messages to AFJ. And this is something that we have capacity to do. Daniel Bloom already has done some work to have pickup protocol v2 added to ACAPI. So we would be able to handle that aspect of things as well, I believe. I partially just wanted to run, make sure the proposed approach was actually a good, you guys are on board with that, or if there's a different way we wanted to tackle it, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm on board with it. I think we're also looking, I just had a chat with one of our clients and they also want to because they like as a requirement, they have acknowledgement of messages, which just currently is not possible. So yeah, very, very good reason to also move to V2, I think.
Agreed. Awesome.
And what is the timeline for this from your side? Is it like that you are going to start on that next week or later or?
Will probably be tackling that issue next week. But hopefully have this issue complete or fixed within the next 2 weeks based off of we've put it in our sprint, so going to be working on it.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe I didn't understand it correctly. So I thought that we want to like implement pickup 2.0 version, fixing the issue by that.
I guess or, I'll clarify the thought process is to do a subset of messages versus all of pickup protocol v2, mm-hmm,
okay.
Just implement specifically the message like retrieval. So kick off, give me all the messages that you have queued for me, and then it sends it, and then we actually know that we've gotten all of them. So that reduces, we don't have to revamp the whole thing. We can do just part of it and moves us in the right direction.
Okay, yeah. I think it's actually correct approach because we want to have smaller PRs, so I think we would implement it in that way anyway. So awesome. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, okay. So because for us it's also a kind of important and it's related to the mediation because currently with VCX we have it, so we already have like persistence of messages and updating the status of message, it's already there, so that's something we would like to have also when we migrate or if we migrate to AFJ in our mobile app. So that's something we eventually can help with.
Sorry. Are you going to use Air Sandwich JavaScript as the mediator agent then?
I would like to do so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's something that we also discussed in Ontario government, that we are going to use AFJ as a mediator. So that's something to tell you about.
Cool. Yeah, it would be good to coordinate somehow because, to me right now, I'm kind of stuck a little bit because I feel that there is a lot of stuff to do with high priority and across a lot of areas. And I'm not sure how to approach this. Because I kind of feel that we try to implement everything and at once, and I don't think it's feasible a way to do so. So maybe, and it's like for you to think about what's really important for you in the following weeks and what we can eventually maybe put aside. And that's just my thinking, you know, feedback, nothing more. So.
Yeah, I think for us, it's mainly like we're fairly driven by current needs. And that's, I think, also why we're all over the place, is that we're here with multiple companies that are working with multiple companies then again. So a lot of people that have different requirements at the time, which, is like, if somebody has a need for it, I think that's a feature we should add before other features.
Okay.
It might be smart to add, I don't know if we have an issue for the pickup protocol V2, because that might help track some of that work, or at least give a place to coordinate that.
I don't think so, but I'll make one for it. Awesome. It hasn't been merged yet also. Maybe we should also see to get it finalized and a first version merged in the RFC's repo.
I don't think, last I checked, I don't think there's anything that's really preventing it to be merged, but I think that it just fell off the radar a little bit. So I think we could probably bring that up in the next working group call.
Yeah.
What do you mean merge? Like there is some PR about that in RFCS?
Yeah.
Okay.
I left a review on it a while ago. I sent a link in the chat.
Okay, cool. Okay, but is it in here?
No, because it hasn't been merged yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. I'm just looking around. I think I saw it. Yeah, I wrote even some messages here. So okay, okay, I saw it. Great. Okay, so next thing.
Maybe on the topic of mediation in AFJ, we have quite an extensive list what it takes to use AFJ as a mediator in production environments, let's just say, to see what's still needed. I will see if I can add that to the issue. So there's like a clear task list that we can also like separate into multiple subtasks.
Yeah.
All right. So my next thing on the agenda was the support multiple indie ledgers, which I would just like some input on. There were a few comments maybe to give some context first is what this PR does. It allows you to, in the startup configuration, set an array of indie pool configs, and you can use all those ledgers. And if you have multiple and you need to retrieve, for example, credential definition ID, it will use an algorithm to determine which ledger to use. And simply put, how that algorithm works is it retrieves the DID from all ledgers, and then looks at where it is found. And if it's found on multiple ledgers, it looks at, is there production, non-production ledgers? It will always choose production ledgers over non-production ledgers. And it will also look if the DIDs are self-certifying. So that's basically the approach. I think only thing that, what Stefan commented is he expects, how I've currently implemented this is that if one ledger rejects with an error other than not found, so like an unknown error, I would cancel the whole request, because I thought like it could mean that like if the ledger that is the original one had the DID and it errors out and I would just pick another one, then I could that could mean that I would be in a different context than I should be. However, when I thought about it the other way around is, yeah, what if one of the non-production ledgers I'm using is down because they don't have like an uptime guarantee, then my whole request fails, even though I'm just using a production ledger now, which also doesn't make sense. So I was curious to hear your opinion on this, like what should happen in this case.
Timo, you had to put on context that in most cases, I'm not sure about other cases, but at least for Ontario and maybe also for other BC and other governments, using that feature will only be for testing. It's not like in production environment, everything will be set on one ledger. So doing complicated algorithms regarding that is not, I don't think it's needed, you know.
Stefan, is your comment as an answer to this?
I just jumped in. Sorry, I had another meeting that I had to go to first. So I just heard the last comment. Speaking for BC, we do actually think this will be needed and even and used in production. So we don't think everything will be tied to a single network, and it certainly will not be for very long. And so we do anticipate some use of it. I don't know how soon, but we do anticipate it pretty soon. But it also will be needed for a number of scenarios. Like we want to be able to do a proof, you know, show a proof of concept, while at the same time having the user participating in an actual production use. And I think that sort of scenario will happen. That's what we've seen the most, which is, you know, I'm running something on the sovereign network, but I also want to participate and be able to see what it's like to get this credential that's happening on a staging network at the same time. So no, we definitely think this will be used early and often.
Cool. Yeah, I also think I don't think we should limit this feature based on the assumption that we only use one ledger. Yeah, because I think it's too good a feature to only use in development environments.
I would only say, Timo, that it should be backward compatible. Not that, I mean, like we have an option to code it only to use one. That's why.
Oh, absolutely, that can be done.
Yeah.
You just the configuration is a break and change because it's still an array now. But besides that, you can just use one a ledger, and then it doesn't have to do a strategy to determine which ledger because you only have one.
Yeah, you either get it or you don't. Yep.
So to your question, Timo, originally on error handling, I'm not sure if I have the a good answer there. I think that, I guess my concern would be is if the schema you would have retrieved would have been on first ledger and that one gave you an error and you continue to the next one and that has the same schema, you would then be working in a different context, right? But also I don't necessarily want to error out just because one of our ledgers is not working as expected.
We could still make like the distinction between production and non-production ledgers, for example. Like if a non-production ledger errors out, it doesn't mean we can't use a production ledger DID, for example. Or we could just do like, we don't care, we just go to the next one, but I'm not sure if that like introduces some new security concerns or that kind of stuff.
And what do you think about, like, so, you know, to me, it feels like we try to do a lot of stuff. Like, you know, we want to simplify it for developer and we do a lot of implicit stuff. So if there is error, we try out like the different ledger implicitly. Is it the case? I'm not sure if I understood it, but it seems like that if I try to get something from the ledger and it fails, then I go and try the different ledger. Is it right?
So basically, currently, yeah, but we only currently doesn't error out if you have like a not found. So basically we look for it on all ledgers and see like, this is the ledger that contains it, so you don't have to have like the setting anymore where you choose which ledger to use, but it just knows which ledger to use.
Okay. Yeah, what I mean is that, you know, for example, initialization right now is to me like a lot of like black box and magic, a lot of magic happens there. And I think it's good, but we should have like both ways. We should be able to provide a lot of options for developer and you know, because there is, for the user and the end, it's nice that if we select like ledgers which are available, you know, and if we simplify it for the user, it's the best. But then there is the middleman who is like developer, and the developer should decide how much like automation he wants to in his app, you know, so when he's using the framework. So that's just my point, you know, point of view. And maybe I'm you know, I don't understand so much about the concept, but I just wanted to say that it would be nice to have some handling about that, you know.
Yeah,
as a developer
I agree. I would like to see that, but, and that's, I think, also what I said in my comment, I think like from current use cases, I think most people don't want to like have know how this works internally. They just want like that the framework handles the complex things for them. And like, if you're going to have more advanced use case, of course this strategy we just implemented is not always going to work, but I think like I this is doing a great job of like not too much time on how much it took me to implement and having a solution, whereas like passing this down in the public API will take a lot more work, because we have to think about how will people use it, how can we pass the list back to the user, how can they filter through it, and these kind of things. And I think that will make what now just took a while to implement like 10 times as long. So I would definitely want, I agree with you completely, but more long term. Okay. I think.
I see. No problem.
Yeah. So a couple of things. The realization is, you know, you say you give an array, say four networks, and you pass it in. Most of the time, obviously, only one will come back and the rest will be not found, no issues. The one we highlighted here would be if one network gives an error, but the others don't. And that was the one issue that we were hung up on. I think adding the feature, to add control back, one of the things we found in both revocation and endorsing was we tried to give control to the controller and let them decide when they want to have an endorser or when they want to do revocation. And we realized both times after doing it wrong that we, that 90 plus percent of the time, they just want it handled and they want the easy interface to it. And the default behavior is the correct behavior. I think it would be pretty reasonable for somebody to come in later and say, we'll add a flag to the UI or to the startup that says conflict to controller. And whenever more than one comes back, it goes to the controller instead of an automated decision being made. That would be a, you know, if it's needed add-on that, that we could say, you know, possibility in the future, but otherwise we just leave it to be automated in, inside the framework the way Timo's done it.
Okay. As a, even a, maybe a, it may not be a valid thought process, but a middle ground there, you could do a by default, it will just continue through all the ledgers regardless of error that it receives. But you do have a flag to change that so that it will throw an error when it receives the first error if it's important to your use case. Because I think that would be fairly simple to add, but also like, because we don't need to then be able to handle and allow the user to then choose which is complicated. But that at least gives a little bit of flexibility to the developer.
Yeah, I think we also should be careful with this because the problem here is I think I can just make a DID and have a var key coupled to it and register that on some kind of test ledger. That's with multiple, of course, if to return multiple. Yeah, no, I think that won't be a problem.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can add that.
Okay. Is it everything for the multi?
So I did have one question. I wasn't able to actually, I haven't looked in depth at the PR yet, but doesn't necessarily diverge or prevent us from moving towards Didindi once that's available?
No,
I didn't think so, but I wanted to ask.
So to be clear, with Didindi, you've got a different problem. In Didindi, you know what ledger it's on. The question is, do you want to resolve it to that ledger? So with Didindi, you're still going to have an array of ledgers that you're going to initialize with. You won't need to try all of them. You'll know which one it's on, but you may come across a did that you don't have a, you know, you're not configured to use, then you have to make a decision. Do I want to dynamically add that to my list or not? And again, that's going to be a problem for the, you know, we have to decide how much control this comes back to Jakob's point, how much control we give the user, you know, the agent to the controller, sorry, the business logic to decide whether, oh, we just got this, you know, did James, do we want to use this, did Indy James, I mean, do we want to find out how to resolve that or do we just want to ignore it? So it doesn't change anything at all. It just makes it more efficient.
When at least to me, that will be a welcome point because like the behavior I may do is if I don't recognize this ledger, then I throw an error, but I can guarantee know that it's from this ledger very determinedly, exactly. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No very long scripts anymore to determine and making six ledger requests to determine where it belongs to.
One quick question. In this, did you do caching at all?
No, that's still on the to-do. I will do that before merging this. I just wanted feedback on the approach first. We don't have caching yet in Airstream with JavaScript, but we need to because if you have like one credential that needs to retrieve three credential definitions, we are going to retrieve the DID from all ledger three times, which is just ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous, exactly. Yep. Cool.
That is also something worth noting on what we've done so far with the recipient revocation is that our revocation state isn't something that we've been caching at the moment. So that's done every time, even if it's the same revocation interval. So there could be some improvements there potentially.
Yeah. Maybe I'll add the caching to this PR, and then you can integrate that into the revocation PR later on.
Sweet.
The caching is a little interesting here because once you know the network of the DID, you also know the network of the credential definition and so on. So it's not a matter of just finding the same identifier. You could go further. So I don't know how hard that will be, but just I just throw that out as a point.
What we do currently, and that may be not be the most efficient, but it was the easiest approach, is doesn't matter what you have, we will also always just extract the DID from it. So for a schema or a credential definition or a DID, we extract the DID from it, and then we have a method get pool for DID. So then it will all use the same underlying mechanism.
Okay, perfect. Nice.
Okay, so I think that's all for this topic. So what's next? Multi-invitations, is it this one, demo?
It's image URL and invitation.
Yeah, okay. So do you want to discuss this first?
Yeah, if we can.
Yeah.
This is basically like every wallet and every agent supports this. And it's using an image URL in an invitation. And it was mostly because Jan with us is building a demo, and we wanted to also have those cool images in connections, but it has sparked some controversy. So basically what my question is, like, Sam gave a presentation yesterday on how to move forward with this, but that's a more long-term thing, I think. He proposes to completely change how invitations are handled, in the way that you don't show like a request or like a pop-up when somebody, when you scan a QR code, but you always make the connection in the background and have the cryptographic connection. But that doesn't mean you really have a connection yet. You would need to have exchange of proof of trust. So you can, for example, with the DID web, you could do verify that the person you're interacting with owns a certain domain name, or you could do like a chamber of commerce credential, that kind of things. And that will add trust. And so that means we like phishing or that kind of things becomes harder, because I could just like have the image of British Columbia in my invitation and do act like I'm British Columbia. Well, I'm definitely not British Columbia. So I totally agree with Sam here, and I would like to look at another way to do it. And I think we would also need to add that to Airstream JavaScript. Question is more like, what do we do with this? Do we like reject it and say like we don't want to include it in the framework because it introduces a bad pattern that we don't want our consumers to use, or do we say we merged it and once better options are available, we'll go for that?
I feel this is like for a long time for us it's a missing part, and we are discussing how, for example, how we solve this problem in our mobile app with VCX is that we have some register JSON. We call it registry, and there is some, you know, images for some labels, as you know, we labeling connections, and then we download the images like this, like along that. So I'm aware that that's security risk, but I think it would be better to start with this and maybe update. But, you know, maybe I'm like, you know, too brave to do that. But yeah, I think it's missing part. And yeah, I think right now it's not a big issue, like from my perspective. And I would like to see it there rather than not.
Yeah, so let's add to the same, Jacob, also. So my point of view as a developer for the controller is, it's a missing part, and the security issues might not be a big of concern, because let's say most of the time you know who you are scanning the barcode in a restaurant or anywhere, so you know the context where you're, you know, using that app or controller, so it's not a big, I think, in my opinion, it's not a big different issue. You can add restrictions later, but yeah.
As far as I understood, I think this is the same thing Sam was talking about in the last default call. And as I understood it, it's like, it's a bit up to the developer, right? If you want to, after you made a connection, if you then want to do additional steps to increase trust. I didn't understand it correctly, maybe, but I think there was not a real change in the protocol or something. It's just you regard the connection as not trusted until you have done whatever you desire.
And well, I think
it's more like a wallet. Or yeah, go ahead.
But from my point of view, at least, it's shifting the model to say the connection is just so we can establish a means of communication. And then at that point, you are now, it is untrusted. You do not have the green check mark with that contact. Trying to shift that model so that if we shift to say this is untrusted, that's better than saying this is information that we've not verified at all. So I think in terms of this specific PR, I'm okay with doing it now, but I think we would want to commit to moving away from this in the future, whether that's saying, okay, out of band invitations, we got to do this in a better method, or have some kind of commitment of how we alter this going forward.
You know, what I see as a problem, at least right now for the following months, maybe few years, with this, you know, doing some trust communication or some communication to build trust after the making connection, is for us right now, it's we are as APSA, we are making connection with the holder, but there is no ecosystem where the user could, you know, ask for the APSA credential. APSA doesn't have any credential. And maybe there are other ways, because I see it as just, you know, some credential exchange after you do a connection. Maybe there are some other ideas about that. But the problem with the credential is that APSA doesn't have any credential, like issued by government or you know, there is a problem with government. So because there is not this trust ecosystem built around with, you know, credentials, and businesses doesn't have credentials. So to us, it's not a solution right now, maybe some different way, but yeah, that's the reason why I see this is as like kind of good solution. And yeah.
And even if APSA has the credential, like how, like if I have my wallet, like how do I know that's a valid credential, and then you need the governance frameworks again.
Yeah, exactly. Probably, you know, as I'm thinking of it right now, I think what could be better than current register with images is that we will have register with DIDs of institutions which are like trusted. And then you just make a connection with someone and you just verify that this other party is the like institution with given and trusted DID, maybe something like that.
Which I think leads us to Dig Web, right? As much as I,
maybe
basically takes us back to CAs, but it means like that's the best probable way to do it is Dig Web.
And maybe, yeah.
You also do part of the mechanism here with a dot well known. So essentially certifying.
Yeah, that's Dig Web. That is Dig Web.
Okay.
Dig Web says that you basically have a DID doc at a well-known place off, based on DNS.
Mm-hmm. I think there's other... It's a little stickier for businesses, but on a personal layer, you can do email, phone, social media. Those are things that we can today verify. I guess my thought process is whether we have verifiable would be great, but even having something unattested or self-attested after the connection has been established is a plus in my mind. So rather than sending your label and the image and such in the invitation, you establish the invitation, the connection, and then you send those things as a follow-up thing. I would rather get that model happening, even if we haven't fully figured out the verified piece.
It sort of helps, but doesn't really move us very far.
Yeah. So the thing that will probably push it forward is having something verified. So specifically like tying it to a dot well known or
et
cetera, or governance frameworks, but the time for that ecosystem to get spun up isn't necessarily a short-term thing.
Okay. So I think we want to do better, but the tools aren't there yet. So for now we can include it. And it doesn't mean you support this immediately because it just stores the image URL. You still need to show it in your wallet. And if you think that's a security concern, you cannot do it, or you can make very clear to your users that this image isn't verified. But that's not a concern of the framework.
Are we able to commit to, for instance, not supporting this as a mechanism in out-of-band invitations?
Sorry, what's that?
When we add out-of-band invitations, that's where we don't want to be passing the image in the invitation.
I don't know if any out-of-band implementation has it.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
But that's a plus in my mind, because then it makes it easier to say we're not going to do an image in out-of-band invitations.
But where do you include it then?
I think you would want to do that as a transfer after the connection has been established.
Does that mean we need a new protocol, or do you see it fitting in some of the existing protocol?
From what I see, you could potentially do like a self-attested credential, but that seems like a poor use of credential transfer. So I would almost say that this needs another protocol.
Yep. Which could lead to Dig Web for now. This could be the way we introduce Dig Web, because the thing you could do is do a some sort of self-attested message, but that's signed by the Dig Web. The key in the Dig Web Dig Doc.
Yep, that would be a good mechanism to push this kind of model forward, I feel like.
And then that would lead as well to a, if there is some, so we could use it as, this is a, you need a governance, a way to get a key from this person in a trusted way that can come from Dig Web for now is one option. And then a governance framework is another. And that would lead us into introducing governance frameworks. Another way is some sort of government proof of a government key. Like again, too many thoughts going in, but Dig Web, I think, would be a good way to do that. So I think an RFC for that would be a good idea.
I would.
I think did grab this a great way either way to. I think for a lot of things, it could make the user experience a bit better. For example, also with like making connections, if I could just type in a website URL and my wallet would just like fetch the DID and make a DITCOM connection with it, then like that's, I think, a really easy way to connect to a trusted party.
Yep. I like it.
All right.
Okay. Good. So
who's an RFC writer?
I think James, Sam already had some initial stuff going, right? Or
yeah, I'll talk with Sam because I know.
Yeah, let's get a HackMD going and let's get. Yeah, that's a good idea. See if Sam can do it.
Yeah,
I'm happy to participate as well. Happy to jump in, but we need to assign it to somebody. So James, you've got it for now. Till you push it away.
Yep.
but basically, the way to do it is just a first cut as a HackMD that you share out to everybody, and let's collaborate on it and then push it.
Perfect.
I think this is a good idea. Cool.
Okay, so I think we are running out of time, but you know, maybe just last thing. I added few notes to this multi-use invitations. Like my main question is about the routing. If you need the routing, yeah, you already responded in here. So okay, yeah, just
yeah, basically I don't think it's a very often needed feature. Routing and multi-user invitations, because it's probably only going to be used by servers that don't use a mediator. However, if we don't do it, that means like a specific set of configurations doesn't work with each other, which I would like to prevent, because then we would need good documentation and we don't have that yet. So yeah, rather make it work in all cases.
Yeah, of course. But if I understand correctly, in general, you don't need routing for multi-use invitation. Is it correct? If I have like issuer service, I don't have like mediator, you know. So and I want to use multi-use invitation.
Well, it could if you look at some in Akapai's mediation edit, because some people working with it wanted to keep their agent behind a firewall with only a mediator with a public endpoint. So their issuer service is using a mediator. Or you could even, I don't know why, create a multi-use invitation in your mobile wallet that all your friends could use to connect to you. So I don't want to limit the use case.
Sorry for interrupting, Timo. I was just going to say good use case is a mobile verifier. Like, to me, it makes a decent amount of sense to have, rather than generating many QR code invitations, you have one, and that's what actually you allow people to scan to actually initiate the verification process. So that's something it's not the biggest concern, but like that is one case in which
so the invitation is a unique identifier, then the invitation itself. So now you've got potential for tracking across. So it's probably better to do an invitation on the fly since it's free in that use case. So I wouldn't encourage that one.
Yeah.
What do you mean with the tracker?
So
tracking.
So if you've got, so one of the things we're working on, apologize if this is taking too long, but we want to have, you know, we're getting used to, we as citizens produce a QR code and a verifier scans it for our vaccine checks, which we have in British Columbia right now. So if the model is starting to be that that the conversation starts by me generating a QR code and then the in-person verifier scans it, what I don't want to use is the same invitation for every verifier, because then they're going to know it's me. So if I go to the same coffee shop every day, they're going to know it's me every time.
I completely agree with you, Stephen. Yeah. The model when we started with it was that the verifier had a QR code and the
whole exactly
in that. And so, exactly.
But and all I'm saying is, I'm not saying, you know, multi-use invitations aren't necessary, but I'm just saying that particular use case, I wouldn't do that.
Specifically,
I'm most interested. Go ahead.
Specifically when the holder is creating the invitation, that is a terrible place to do that.
Yes.
Timo.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I'm most interested also in it for server side and mediation. We have an AFJ mediator hosted and like every time we have used the invitation, we need to get a new invitation. I just want to reuse.
Yeah, we've always thought of it as being a server side sort of thing. Whatever, you know, issuer, verifier, mediator. Yeah, we agree. I would agree.
Yeah, okay. And maybe, you know, my question, I understand like the need of the mediator for like also backend services and holder. I understand that. My question was more about, because you are saying like routing is required in here. So my question was about if I don't have routing, if I can still use multi-use invitation.
And well, routing is also, it's not necessarily routing, but it's also like non-mediation routing. So it's just general routing. So we ask like, give me the routing keys I need. And if I use mediation, include those routing keys, but otherwise just give me the plain routing keys of my own agent.
Yeah, but if this like if this is null or if it's not defined, does it still work? Or
is it, I believe it would be an empty array, like, or at least a portion of that would be like an empty array in which we can actually use it in a non-mediation context.
It's yeah, but it will still work because it's not required for the process request unless we have a multi-use invitation. And this is mainly done in this way because we can't access the routing, the mediation service from the connection service because they're dependent on each other. So that's just, this is like a circular dependency issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's another issue. Okay. I see. But yeah. Okay. So I was confused by this. You know, I thought that we need routing. We need to have routing. But it's not. That's not the case. The routing is there. If it's there, that's good. That I understand. But it's not like required for multi-use invitation. Okay. Okay. So yeah, that was confusing to me. But now it makes sense. No problem. Yeah, okay, so I think that's all for today. So yeah, thank you guys for being here, and I need to update myself after my 3-week vacation. Have a nice Friday weekend, and see you next week.
Good stuff. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. See you soon.